This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. You know what we do here. We watch every episode. We talk about it. Ryan Taez is here.
I am here. Hello.
Hello. Tom Welling is here.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
At Talkville Podcast or at Talkville Pod, and write a review if you like the podcast. It really helps algorithms and all that stuff. You can go on Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum and go to the link tree. And for cameos and for cons that me and Tom are going to be at, the Smallville Con's coming up down the road. We're doing a live podcast in May. So once that gets announced, please get tickets and come see it. We're going to do a Smallville Nights event and then a live podcast. It's going to be great. A lot of fun. And thank you for all our patrons, Tom. Can't forget patreon.com/talkville. Join patron if you want to continue this show. Without my patrons, our patrons, we couldn't do this. And you can get all the info in the show's description at any of the links and any of the handles. Without further ado, let's just jump into it. Let's get into season 4, episode 15. This is called Sacred. Title Sacred. Aired February 23rd, 2005. Brad Turner directed this. Ryan, what else did Brad Turner, or was it the editor?
The editor. Well, Brad Turner did a lot of 24.
Oh, Tom, what love that.
He did. He's got like 40-something directing credits on 24.
What?
So there you go, Tom.
How did I not know that at the time? I would have been like, hey, I need a job.
Well, I think this was after. I think he only did this one Smallville episode, according to this. And then...
And the editor of this episode...
He moved on. The editor of this episode, in addition to doing 70-plus Smallville episodes, also edited The Jerk. With Steve Martin.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Writers Kelly Satters, Brian Peterson, guest star Byron Mann as Commander Chang, Terrence Stamp as the voice of Jor-El, Michelle Goh as Professor Sen. Smallville takes a trip to Shanghai, China in search of the Stones of Power, revealing the truth behind everyone's intentions for obtaining them. The episode opens up with Clark tackling the important things in his life, like college applications. In typical Dr. Swan fashion, a messenger delivers a package. Clark learns of Swan's death and receives a post-mortem message encouraging him to find his father, Jor-El, because he's the only one who can help him finish his quest. And at last, Clark gets reunited with the spaceship key. Clark takes the key into the Fortress of Solitude among the caves and places it into a slit. Light emerges around Clark and he begins to communicate with Jor-El. He tells his son about the Stones of Power and the knowledge of the Kryptonians resides within him. And if the human gathers the stones, they will destroy the world for some reason. I don't know.
I mean, I just wanted to see Clark be like, couldn't have told me this sooner. And also, did anybody keep track of how many times Lex says in this episode to someone else, is there anything that you know that we don't know? Like, you say it like 8 times.
Did I? Are you not telling me something? That kind of thing?
What is it you know that we don't know? You say to everybody, Jason, Lana, Lionel, Clark.
My biggest problem is we haven't gotten there yet. But like Lana just, like Lex's security and his management just say, oh yeah, Lana, you want to take the plane? Yeah, take the jet. Go to Shanghai. Go ahead. Yeah, and take this guy with you.
What I would have liked to have seen is when we see Clark and Lana on the plane, it's just like dramatic moment. Shouldn't they have been like kicking back? Like, should we turn these seats into a bed? Shouldn't they be enjoying the plane a little bit?
This is a 20-hour flight to Shanghai. They're going to have to refuel.
At least.
You're not going to get there for 2 days. You're going to be worn out. At least Lana would be.
Yeah.
I'd be so jet lagged, I couldn't help anybody.
What do we think? What is it? Is Metropolis Chicago equivalent in terms of cities that we're thinking? Because the Midwest, I don't know.
But still, Shanghai. So buddy, you're going to Asia.
You got to Google flights.
You got to fuel up in Alaska or Oregon and then jump over. Yeah, it's a thing. But listen, I'm just glad that the Chinese officer noticed Lana's back tattoo and was able to not kill her.
Yeah, they figured that out. The next day inside the town, Lana gets a call from Jason, who's overseeing things for Lex over in Metropolis. Their call ends abruptly when Jason hangs up because someone nearby is speaking Chinese. It turns out Jason is actually in China. I thought the set design was epic.
Beautiful.
I thought it looked like Shanghai, if whatever Shanghai looks like. It looked like we were in China. I was amazed by the production value and the scope. And I really give them credit. Even when they were in that building where they, you know, find everything where everybody's sort of in, it really looked great. They did an epic job.
Yeah.
Lex calls Jason next and reveals what he knows about Lionel's involvement with the map. He tells Jason there's no way he won't be involved in finding the stone that is in a nearby temple. I love working with Jason, with Jensen. We had a good time. I remember making him laugh a lot. And I remember that scene where we take off our shirts. I'm like, I'm not taking my shirt next to this guy. He looks fucking great. I'm keeping a shirt on. You can see some of my chest. I'm not working out for this one.
You could tell that. I mean, I know that you would get along with anybody, if you had to, but even when you guys had to run from the soldiers, I noticed that you were ahead and Jensen was always a little step behind. I wonder if you guys talked about that, like Lex asked the lead, because you were running hard, dude. I could see it in your face. You were running hard.
Yeah, I committed. I would sometimes I'd run in Smallville. There was one episode back when I think I talked about it where I was running in dress shoes full speed and I wiped the F out. Ripped a hole in my Lex slacks, bloody knee, and I was a little bit more careful the next time. Back at the Kents, Jonathan is sharing his disappointment with Clark going back down into the caves. Martha agrees and tells her son that it's been nice to have old Clark back and not the caved-obsessed Kal-El. Clark is adamant about finding the stones to prevent anyone else from getting them. And the next day, Lana goes to meet with her boyfriend's boss, but instead finds Lionel Luther. Lionel blows the lid on everything going on, including Jason's whereabouts in China, Lex's investigation into her ancestor Isabel, and a map leading to the three mystical stones. So we finally have some reasoning behind the tramp stamp tattoo. Isabel is using Lana as a vessel to continue her search for the stones, even though she can't physically obtain them, as seen in Spell.
So you're saying that the stamp lives on?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
Putting her stamp on history.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening.
Oh, that's even better.
Thank it you, just Ryan. Amazes me how this is the story they broke. Like this storyline, it's just bad. I can't wrap my head around that this is the direction that the show went, and it goes on for a while. So it's amazing how people sort of stuck around because, you know, to me, the first three seasons were pretty solid and a lot of fun, and this has had some good stuff. But this season, to me, tell me if I'm wrong.
It's getting a little more adult. I really like this episode. I even like the next episode. I think this
I don't
is,
hate
it's a,
this episode.
It's a bigger picture sort of thing. I also will say, because I'm watching at the same time, if anybody else notices, the door to the cockpit on the private plane looks like a closet door handle.
I did not notice that.
It's like, oh, here's my shirt. But I listen, the last couple episodes weren't fantastic, but this one I think is, and I would use my powers of deduction to say that Ryan likes bigger picture stuff. So
I don't know if Ryan likes this one. You're on the fence.
We'll find out later.
What was your gut after watching it? Not to be manipulated here by Tom.
It was a lot
to digest.
I mean, because when we talk about like this, I mean, suspension disbelief. So, you know, I'm trying to get there, but this was a lot of suspension.
You mean like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon fight?
I mean,
watched that.
Like we had to get, they sent the high schoolers to China and they just didn't, according to Google Flights, that is a 25 hour journey.
Yeah.
Like,
told you.
And then, yeah, it was a lot. It was a bit like, you know, again, very adults, I don't know. obviously very middle about this one. I'm very mid.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. Back in China, Jason shares his intentions of finding the stones to protect Lana from everyone else. He and Lex get chased down by Chinese military officers at gunpoint and taken as prisoners. And now up in the sky, aboard the PJ, Clark and Lana are discussing the powerful secrets within themselves and their fear of sharing them with others. At this point, Lana and really has nobody that she can trust. Back in China, Jason and Lex get imprisoned in a cell under the temple that they were searching for. Convenience. Lex tries to get Jason to drop the act and reveal what he really knows, believing that Lionel already had the temple canvassed and that Jason has additional intel with the map. And as Jason goes to stare out at the beautiful yellow Chinese cityscape, guards enter the cell, Billy club Lex, and drag him off to torture.
This episode has two huge turns in it. One's coming up from Lex, which totally caught me by surprise. Number two, I get when you're in a Chinese, you know, when you're going into a church and you're seeing symbols and this and that, these guys are in a jail cell. So those symbols were put there by Lex so that he could see Jason's reaction to them. Am I reading that correctly?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Why else would those symbols be in a jail cell?
I think they were just to keep the audience involved.
Okay.
I think it was for happenstance. Didn't you, Ryan?
I guess. I didn't think about it too hard, but maybe. Is this not just like a standard like Chinese phrase that all these Americans are misinterpreting and think it's like something bigger than it is? It's like live, laugh, love or something in Chinese. Or, yeah. I don't know.
Out in the city, we see Clark and Lana walking around, and we get possibly one of the cheesiest lines of the series. We're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, she said it.
She said it. And
she did say that.
I remember looking at Bill, my friend Bill, who's in the other working with me in the office, and we both looked at each other kind of funny. But, you know, hey, you know, it's a teen show. I
kind of wanted her to say we're not in Vancouver anymore.
We're not in Vancouver anymore. Tom, do you remember any stories on this set? Do you remember anything?
I remember it being relatively close to home and being is very immersive. Walking in because it's like 360. Like they really took it over, like you said. It's gorgeous from all angles.
They find their chaperone, Professor Sen. She is amazed at the folded up paper map that Clark shares. She goes on to talk about a god from another world who hid a treasure in the temple. Sounded a little ADR there.
It sounded very ADR'd.
Yeah.
All of her lines.
They added them later, I think, or something. There was something wrong with the sound there.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Over at the temple, Lex gets brought back bloody and beaten, and Jason gets dragged out next. Lex pleads to Jason to just share what he knows. And then once he's gone, it's revealed that Lex has orchestrated the whole thing to retrieve information.
Awesome.
Great twist. I like that. I was like, oh my gosh. However, another guard walks in two times Lex, letting him know more powerful people want the information. So that was groovy too. As Clark, Lana, and Professor Sen waltz through the temple, Clark recognizes a Kryptonian symbol on a wall. He uses X-ray vision to find a hidden room. After shooing Lana away, he moves the secret door to find a treasure map dressed, but the room is booby-trapped by a kryptonite-laced statue. And Lana and Professor Sen's tour gets stopped when guards apprehend them. Professor Sen gets shot, and Lana's next. However, she gets saved by her tramp stamp. Like Ryan talked about.
I thought it kind of sucked that their guide got taken out so quickly. I was not a fan of that. I thought she was going to be like a bigger deal.
Yeah, I thought she was like the kind of liaison.
Maybe like she was just going to be like a connection in China that they had throughout the rest. But I guess it
didn't happen. You weren't bummed.
I was just
attracted to her. That's all.
Well, listen. We then cut to a scene where Jason and Lex are holding their own, taking electroshock torture and refusing to reveal their secrets. The guards decide to bring in Lana and try to get them to squeal. Despite them increasing the voltage on her, Lex and Jason just look on silent and hopeless. Mid-torture, Lana seems to be possessed again. She becomes
Loom, lime, loom. Sounds like the mummy ride at Universal.
She becomes still.
Join me or your souls will be... Go ahead. Sorry.
That's a purple glow over her eyes, and then begins to speak Latin. That's what that was.
Damned whom drama ring. Go ahead. Sorry. Can't stop myself.
She begins casting spells to free herself and then goes on to finger blast the guards in the room. More finger blasting. More finger blasting.
I remember just going, I remember probably thinking, what are we doing? What's happening in this scene? Where are we? Did anybody read this script? What is Lex supposed to be doing? Am I angry? Am I ambiguous? Give me which Lex you want. Am I screaming? I'm shocked. I remember, you know,
you looked confused. But that's exactly what we wanted from you. You had no idea what the fuck was going on. It was amazing.
Yes, perfect.
Isabel turns her attention to Jason and Lex, taunting them and revealing that the map was never actually a map.
After Clark gets conveniently pulled away from the secret booby trap, he escapes and goes to find Lana. However, he as well gets purple finger blasted, and Lana flees the scene. Purple finger blast. After Clark regains consciousness, he frees Jason.
We have
and
a
Lex.
New t-shirt.
All three men begin arguing. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Little did we know, another love triangle has been forming in front of our eyes the entire time. Three, they convene at the secret entrance and discover that the map was actually just a drawing of someone's perspective looking at the temple, and that the stone is likely at the base of a nearby tree. And we cut to Lana
at
the same
tree. When they reveal that, I was like, oh, like, how did I not see that before? Ryan, I'm sure you.
It was kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
It was cool. I didn't know it.
Why didn't I see it that way? Yeah, because they were telling us it was a map for so long as an audience that you're like, figure it's a map. But oh, you're just looking through a crook in a tree.
Yeah, maybe they changed this version.
When they tell you it's a map, you see a map. When they tell you it's a tree, you see a tree. It's one of those optical illusion things.
Paging Dr. Freud.
At the same tree, casting another spell and causing a statue of a horse to emerge from the ground. And by the way, the second she picked that up, I knew she was going to break it open and find something.
Can I just jump back real quick and just say that the stuff that happens between Clark and Lana when she's doing all the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came so easy to Kristen. Like, she did that movie.
She did that movie.
Well, she did Street Fighter.
Yeah, so easy. She just, there's only been a couple of people, actors that I've seen that can just like, okay, I'll do that. And they do it and they don't hurt anybody. And they, yeah.
Yeah. Kudos to her. Lana breaks a statue, releasing the stone, and also sending piercing sounds to Clark, who supersedes in, nabs the stone from her grasp. However, after one more purple hand blast or finger blast, Lana is able to get it back. Clark tries to stop her back inside the temple, but Lana pulls up with two swords. She casts a spell, chucks a sword into Clark, and then whips out Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon fight moves. A girl from Kansas, possessed by a French witch, casting spells in Latin, performing traditional Chinese fighting techniques. Tom, any stories from this shoot with Kristen and some fighting stuff, or you just were enamored, like you said, by her fighting?
Well, I'll say it again, just for the sake of timing, but remember watching Kristen, it coming so easy to her being able to do the stunts, to be able to hit the marks, and then and in a way that worked for the camera, but also kept the two of us safe because she's attacking Clark a lot. So, and I had never really been in a situation with Kristen where I saw her doing that. So, and I had been doing it a lot with other people. So it just, I was astounded by how easy it was for her to accomplish what was being asked of her, which she always talks about too.
During the fight, Clark rips a stone out of her pocket. When both Lana and Clark go to grab it, a purple hand blast sends them flying and causes the stone to disappear. Jason emerges, unsure whether or not Lana is being truthful, and she seems to have no recollection of what went on while possessed. After fighting a possessed 16th century French witch in modern-day China, Clark returns home to try and find the motivation to write his letter of intent for Kansas College. Lana walks in to check on him, and Clark goes on to talk about feeling distant from Lana and unsure of who she really is. Lana tells him that that's like the pot calling the kettle black, man. Clark responds by saying that their lives are not less random than they think. Plot twist, Jor-El sent Kal down in the meteor shower to intentionally kill Lana's parents so they couldn't find the stones.
Didn't think about that.
Never thought about that.
That's heavy, man.
Bryce thought of that.
But Aunt Nell apparently doesn't know anything.
I'm still trying to figure out Magnolia, so don't ask me. Over at Luther Mansion, Lionel pops in and attempts to be a good father, but Lex is still suspicious of his involvement and upset for giving Lana and Jason the map. Lionel warns Lex to not go deeper down this rabbit hole because he won't truly find what he's looking for.
Next, we see Jason paying a visit to Lana in the Talon. He apologizes for lying, but says it was to protect her. Lana isn't buying it, so to win her over, Jason pulls out one of the Stones
of
Power and gives it to her in an act of loyalty. The episode.
That's love, man, or lerve. Stone, that's lerve.
Stone's lerve. The episode ends with Clark walking into his home empty-handed and telling his parents he lost the stone.
They were really disappointed with him, too. Clark! What are you... You went all the way to Shanghai and you didn't... It was right there. You didn't check Jason's pockets. You didn't give a strip search to Lana. You just left without the stones.
Do you think the four of them flew back on the Luther Corp jet together and just didn't talk about anything?
Yeah, and Lex is like, I never told you you could use this plane.
I bet they slept. Clark reveals the kryptonite booby trap and whether or not he was meant to obtain them in the first place. Then he shares a final email he received from Dr. Swan that Bridget Crosby was supposed to gift him one of the stones that he possessed. However, she neglected to do so.
Interesting things of note, Tom.
Interesting things of note.
Isabel, Lana's magic functions, normally in this episode, despite it being established in Spell, that she could not work magic without her spell book.
Or electricity.
This is the first episode in which Lionel interacts with Lana while in his own body. When news of Virgil Swan's death appears on the television, the newscaster is heard to be called Tom Flores. Tom Flores is a longstanding producer on Smallville. Byron Mann, who plays the Commander Chang here, previously appeared as Kern in the episode Insurgents, the Die Hard episode. Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1, Talkville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, I don't know, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and I don't know, something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one. And I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well,
it really
look,
was.
I mean, what people don't realize is, you know, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville.
That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out, and the travel packs are worth it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about this all the time. The stigma is going away. It's important for us all to talk about our feelings, about our life, with someone we can talk to, someone who's objective, who's a professional. So many people have done this. I've been doing this for a long time. It helps. Ryan here, you can't see him, but he uses BetterHelp. So many of my friends do, and it works for so many people. And we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And at times, we keep carrying them around rather than processing them and letting them go. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy from BetterHelp is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. I know a lot of people think that. It's not for just those people. It's for all of us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Talkville today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Talkville.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
All right, welcome right now our special, our patron, our lovable Talkville patron. She's here, Geneva. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You got your Talkville shirt on?
I sure do.
Where are you? Are you in Switzerland?
No, I'm in Florida. Of all the places.
Florida, where in Florida? Well, you don't have to tell us where you are, but
it's Apopka.
Apopka,
small town.
How long have you been a Smallville fan?
From the very beginning, from season one, episode one.
From 2001, you've been a fan of Smallville.
Definitely. I actually have both. I have both of your autographs. I met Michael in person at Dragon Con in like 2017, back when
I'm sorry to hear that.
Back when I could pull off wearing a Supergirl costume. And then Tom, I met you actually. We did a virtual during COVID.
Ah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I thought you mentioned that.
Hey, so what is it that you love about Smallville? We always ask this, but what was it about the show, and what is it about the show that keeps you coming back?
For me, it was really the messages for each show. I felt like, I was pretty young when it first came out, but I almost felt as if any problems I had could be dealt with in a mature and,
sort of like when the Kents kind of get around the chopping block in the kitchen and they discuss things, kind of idea. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And also like just realizing, Clark, was going through high school. I was going through high school, as well towards the end, but, it felt like, very wholesome and made me feel good.
I love that.
Did you have what was your superpower in high school? Did you feel like you had
one? My superpower was running late.
Do you still run late? That stays with you.
Yes, it does, as you can see.
Yeah.
I said that before. I said, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I guarantee that's when they're going to come up.
What? So the episode today we're talking about is Sacred. It's episode 81. It's episode, it's the fourth season. First of all, what do you think about the storyline and going to Shanghai, and how did you feel about this episode?
I enjoyed this time period. I felt a little bit like Lana was taking out her rage on Clark a lot. I just like this storyline.
One of the quick things I felt watching this episode, I didn't want to miss a scene. Like felt like every scene added up. It was big. It was epic. It felt like, felt like we were traveling with the characters. It was, I really liked this episode myself. Yeah.
Yeah. It pulls you in.
It wasn't bad. It was just.
Oh, Mr. Cynic over here. Okay.
No, well, look, it was, I don't like the storyline in general, so I had to let that go. But I think the scope of being in China looked good, and the action was good. And, we included almost all the characters. And so there were some really good parts about it, but it's not my favorite storyline. I don't know if season four so far is my least favorite season. Now, it started out kind of strong, and we're going on this storyline with Lana and the tattoo, and I'm not crazy about it. But what's your favorite season out of all the seasons?
I couldn't pick a season myself.
Probably season three.
Nailed it. I called it.
Yeah.
I looked at Ryan and I went three.
That's before life really started to happen. And that was like really when, meteor things were going on. It just felt like it wasn't as Clark centered. It was more,
character centered.
Character. Yeah. And new character every show, it was, I liked that portion of.
What was your favorite character and what's your least favorite character on the show? Go ahead. Say Clark. Easy question. It's okay.
Well, actually, to be honest, it was, if you're talking about like acting and the character, I would say Lex.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. It's been great. Thank you for your time. Who is your favorite character to hate?
My favorite character to hate.
That's always fun because I get that when I was on Lucifer, I get people saying like, I hated you on that show. Thank you. And it's like
probably Lionel. That would be the because he pulls you in every time he talks. Yeah. He pulls you in.
He does. He has a way with that. Look, I want to thank you for being a patron too and supporting the podcast. The patrons really, whether it's my Inside You podcast or this Talkville podcast, it's like, thank God for you guys who really get behind the show and it keeps us airing. It keeps us doing the show. And what do you like about Patreon?
I like all of the material when you go in and there's just a bunch of different things that you can vote on stuff. And that's probably my favorite part is the community.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say, the community and talking to people and having something in common and something you could talk about, something you were passionate about.
Right.
I love that. Ryan, do you have any questions for Geneva?
Well, I guess who is your favorite guest star then? Because you were about to say guest character. So who would that actually be?
I was going to say my least favorite was
even better.
Fat Amy. Was it Fat Amy?
Amy Adams.
Oh,
yeah. The Piggy Wiggy. I mean, she's a good actress. I just didn't like the character.
Yeah. She ate the deer and all that.
Well, this is a real treat having you on. I love that you took the time to hang with me and Tom and to express how much you liked Smallville and what it meant. And did you ever watch Smallville with someone or was it something you watched alone?
I used to watch it alone. I recently, I watched it a lot with my brother. He was battling cancer for a long time. He knows how much I like that show.
Aww.
And it was a nice way of like spending time with him because we started rewatching. And so I started from season one because I wanted to show him again. And we enjoyed that because he didn't like much. So saying, you know, that he actually liked something that I liked was pretty cool.
He and I would get along really well.
Was he a lot like Michael?
He and I would get along.
Yeah, actually. And he was really funny too.
Hey, I like it. Well, hey, we love you. We're also doing a Smallville con in New Jersey later in the year. And we're doing other cons. So I hope to see you at another con. Atlanta was a while ago. But thanks for being on here, Geneva. We really appreciate it. And please say our magic ending line, if you will.
No.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, here we go. This is the hotline. We're going on some top tiers. We're going to Olivia. Olivia, what you got for us? This is a crazy episode. This is a lot
to digest. Hi, guys. Olivia in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Ooh. In this episode, we see the return of Isabel Thoreau, and she states when she comes back that she would never let any harm come to Lana's body and that she would do anything to keep that from happening so she saves Lana from being electrocuted. But it makes a big plot hole when you think just 3 episodes ago, Lana was being choked to death by the sand freak in the shower. Like, why'd she save her in this episode, but not that one? And I'm just curious what your guys' theories are. Thanks.
My electricity. Theory is you're right.
Electricity.
Yeah.
Electric shock therapy, which Lex knows a lot about.
Yes. But you know what, Tom? The one thing I could tolerate maybe a suspending disbelief. I could tolerate not everything making sense. But when I watch a movie has a certain set of rules, whether it's a horror movie, an action movie, whatever. A lot of times it has a set of rules that it creates. These are the rules. And when you break those rules, it really can make you not like something. And so I think Smallville lately has done a lot of breaking their own rules, or just making things just not as clear. So, but Olivia, you're not wrong. Natalie, Tom liked this episode. I didn't hate it.
Hi, this is Natalie. I have a question for season 4, episode 15, Sacred. This question is for Tom. I absolutely love the fight scene between you and Lana in this episode, and just wondering what you remember for the preparation for that and how much of it you guys did versus how much your stunt guys did. Thank you.
Love you.
I'll make this quick because I talked about it, about how easy it was for Kristen, but Kristen did a great deal of it. Yeah. I was able to, if you break down the stunt sequence, I'm kind of just evading and stuff, which is things I've done before. But the whole like flying through the air and stuff, that's all Kristen. She did it all.
Yeah. All right. This is Brian. Brian's got a doozy here. A doozy, I tell you. Ready, Ryan?
I didn't think so.
Don't read it.
Hey, guys. This is Brian from Virginia. While in China, Clark discovers a statue bearing kryptonite that has been hidden for hundreds of years. My question is, how could kryptonite have been on Earth hundreds of years before the destruction of Krypton?
Because Jor-El used to vacation on Earth, and he created a religion and he's a godlike figure. And he set all this up. And then he left and went back to Krypton, and then Krypton blew up. That's my takeaway from this episode, because they were like, there was a God figure here who left. I'm like, who else could it be? It must be Jor-El.
Impressive, Tom. I never would have thought that.
Tom is the wisest of all of us.
All right, just went up from 2 bombs.
I doubt it.
It's the fatherly wisdom.
I didn't know it at the time.
From Houston. One of my favorite episodes of all time. You guys both completely killed it. Michael looking completely shredded, and Tom, killer fight scene with Kristen. As a personal trainer, wanted to know what your guys' training regimen was like to be in that kind of killer shape. Did you guys hire someone, or did your own thing? Always wondered that. Always was wondering, too, how you guys keep yourself in shape today?
Well, today I don't do it as much. I play a little hockey, and I play a little tennis. I'm in decent shape, but I'm a little soft. Could be better, but I'm 51. Back then, a lot of push-ups, you know. And
we were younger.
We were younger, and it was a lot easier. But thanks, dude. It was nice to hear that, and I need to work out immediately. Aaron.
Would you do, like, if you had your shirt off, would you do, like, 10 push-ups
I do
100. Right before a take?
Oh, yeah. I get shredded before it, yeah, or as good as I could. Everybody does that. Should have gone on HGH.
Hello, my name is Erin Andrew from Pittsburgh, PA. My question is for Michael. Now that we know more about Lana's tattoo, that Lana's ancestor was and still is after the stones, is that a satisfying reason for you, or does it still seem like a stretch? Thanks, guys.
That's it. That's the answer. That noise is the answer.
I don't know how I feel. Is she asking me as a personal opinion?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Are you more satisfied now after watching this episode?
No, I'm not. Catherine, Tom gets a kick out of me being upset. He always has.
Hi, this is Catherine calling from Southern California. How come Clark didn't use his X-ray vision to scan the area to look for the stone after him and Lana had dropped it? He just accepted that it disappeared so easily when he had went all the way to China to get the stone.
That would be too easy.
I agree.
That'd be too easy. We got it, you know, it's like, you know, you could easily say, why doesn't, I know what you're saying, Catherine. You're not wrong. But, you know, sometimes you have to let the characters figure things out. And the audience, I guess we're smarter than the characters, usually.
I mean, he could have used his superhuman to hear the soldiers coming in, too. But, you know, you got no show at that
point.
Hi,
this is Patrick Strukowski calling from Pittsburgh. When the episode premiered, there was a sweepstakes called Get Lex for Verizon Wireless customers only. If you texted the password found in the episode on Lex's computer, which was Elements, you got a chance to win a walk-on role for the season 5 premiere. I remember this because I was too young for my own cell phone, so my amazing parents actually texted for me. But then they were spammed for months after with junk texts. Anyway, I didn't win, but I was wondering if you remember the winner, their role, and what the experience was like. Thanks for doing the show, guys. Hope to see you in Pittsburgh again soon. Thanks.
That's hilarious.
Thanks, Patrick. I didn't know that. That's pretty amazing.
I believe it's the translator that.
Well, check this out.
Yeah, I think it's the translator that Clark and Lana found in China.
No. Verizon Wireless customers can get Lex by sending a text message to get Lex with the password elements, and you can receive text messages from Lex Luthor and enter for a chance to win a trip to the set of Smallville for the fifth season premiere. Click for more details. All those who register can receive special. Anyway, you get it.
Yes, we'll find out.
Text. All right, here's a question from Molly from the UK. I love the scene where Lana falls into Clark's arms in a busy street in Shanghai. As always with Clark and Lana, those looks and glances speak volumes. Where was that filmed?
Chinatown, Vancouver. Vancouver's got a great Chinatown.
Death and save count.
Death and save
One
count.
Dead, Dr. Sen gets capped. Two saved, Clark rescues Jason and Lex. Through 15 episodes, 10 dead, 31 saved. Series, 102 dead, 134 saved. Ryan's favorite scene. Ryan's favorite. He's going to write down three scenes. Hopefully he's already done that. He's chosen the scene.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And we are going to guess. Tom got it last.
I already know what it is. I already know what it is.
Well, don't say it.
Well, all right.
You're just helping me.
Scene one, Lana gets electricity powers. Scene two, the Crouching Tiger fight. And scene three, Clark in the cave with the Christopher Reeve VO at the end.
Ooh, these are tough. These are tough. I know Tom's going to say Crouching Tiger. But
I must get it was.
I know you were. That's probably.
I already wrote it down. I got to go with my gut. That's.
I mean, but it was kind of cool. I don't know what Ryan's gonna say.
It was awesome.
I think Ryan's gonna probably say the Jor-El scene at the end with the voice, but I'm gonna go with the Crouching Tiger scene as well.
Crouching Tiger scene.
Crouching Tiger. All right. We both.
It was the standout. They needed an excuse to do that scene, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was cool. Awesome. Listen, if you've never seen the show and I showed you this episode, you got like, what's going on? You're going to different countries. Yeah, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Like there's so much in this episode. This is awesome.
That is true.
This is great.
You could show someone this episode who's never seen Smallville before and they would kind of get it.
They would want to see more, I think, for sure.
They go, what are they doing in China? And who are these people?
Well, they get the something show out of it. I don't think.
But it's like, what is this show? And I want to see more.
If you just watch this one on its own, you'd be like, oh, is this what the show is? But then if you watch the rest of them, you'd be like, what the f-?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Bleep the F-bombs, Jason. You can't say that on Talkville.
Yeah, you can.
No, we can't. That's why we're bleeping in the beginning, too. People, there are kids that listen to this.
We just figured out that this was a great episode. But horrible for the series.
Maybe. It just was a different show.
Anyway.
It was a different show. All right, Rosenbaum rating system.
And now.
Here we go. We're going to go with Tom first, because he's going to probably give it a
two.
Two roses for Tom.
I think this is great. I think it was a great episode.
I know what Ryan's going
to do. Everybody was great. I found myself not looking away from what I was watching. I kept trying to, I just really enjoyed my time.
I respect that.
Half.
That's what I was going to
give. I'm going to give it 0.5.
I'm going to give it a half a rose. So I didn't shit on it. That's it for the episode. Stick around next week as we pave a new lane and talk about season 4, episode 16, Lucy. Let's take the discussion. We might have a special guest too. We'll see. Let's take the discussion online. Let me know your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or at Talkville Pod. Show your support by joining patreon.com/Talkville. Get back and hopefully the show will continue because of you wonderful patrons. Want more info like merch for the show or the hotline number, you can call and find that all in the description. You can go to my Instagram and go in the link tree for upcoming cons and podcasts and cameos and merch and all that great stuff. And we love you. Thanks for dealing with us, putting up with us. Thanks to our guest patron. It was a joy to have you, Geneva. Ryan, Tom, always a damn pleasure.
Always hold on to Smallville.
All right. Can't forget our lovable patrons. We love you. Our top tiers. We love all patrons. Thanks. Patreon.com/Talkville. Let's give the shout outs. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Santiago M, Little Lisa, Thomas, Tom, Turner, Shane W, Sophie M, Betsy D, Abby P, Ray Harada, Karen Apple M. Thanks for being on the show. 99 More, Lalani N, Brett G, always hold on to Smallville, Estevan G, Garrett W, Bob K, Kimberly L, Tom N, Jason W, Osama A, Glenda the Good Witch P, Lana rhymes with banana, W, Nancy D, Brian G,
Sarah W, YVR Grips, thank you, Vancouver, Anna M, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Ryan R, Jordan M, Randy B, Craig G, Jorel, my dad, Heather and Greg, we love you. I made Talkville Say Butts. Thank you for your call today. Brian H, Eric K, Kristen B, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Finky, Early, it's on time. Mrs. Clark Kent. Is that what it's, yeah. Damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Deadvid, General Zod, Theodore, Nathan, Jammin J, Big D. Okay. Doug R, Carlos C, Tommy Z, Boston, 68. Ken the Limerick Guy, thank you for your call. Corey L, Mr. Homer K, Jesse C, Claire M, D, Brown, Karen Ira M, Jules M, L, Don Supremo, Leslie V, McBurtz, Ginger Moose, please remember Janice from North Carolina. We will. Christoph S, Michelle M, Drew, you got this next one.
Amanda Lynn, Jessica B, Michael Kang doesn't blink, Sebastian F, Wolfie, Dak Flando, Steven, the grocery checker, Matthew and Lincoln B, Charlene A, the Coopers, Marion Louise L, CGO, Cindy C, Shannon Fafanin, Tina E, Matt Rick, Jen T, Randy S, Cassie B, Brad A, Felicia R, Danny Mo, Mirabel, JS, Rachel D, Steve in a danger. When you're rich, you aren't crazy, you're eccentric. Rosenbaum S, Karen Ann, Patrick R, the Alexander Castle, Daryl E, Charlene A, Spicy Chicken, Jenny B, Anna B, Monica T, Jeffrey K, Pick Kenobi, Katya C, previously on Smallville, Matt C, D-Pro Chazal, and Devin, Chadwick B, Keith B, Charu, Major Paradox, Patreon Saint of Smallville, Libertariat, Christy H, Biagio C, Cal L 38. Tom, want to take the last few?
Yeah, Felicia B, Lady J, Mignon A, The Salty Ham, as ham should be, Murphy C, David, Madison H, Mika J, Mooncloak, Tori H, Anna H, and Paul the Limerick Gutierrez.
No, wait, Grim.
Paul the Grim Gutierrez. Sorry, I was stuck on the Limerick guy.
Guys, we love you. Thanks for watching the show. Couldn't do it without you. And always hold on to Smallville. We said it before. We'll say it again. We'll see you.